This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hornor, joined by the Triple OG, Whitaman Mason. Mace, this is round six review time. But before we start the show, mate, a really sad weekend for a lot of people that were involved at what happened at Bondi Junction. Very close to home for us. We live just around the corner. It was a difficult conversation to have sort of the next day with my partner because we were looking at going to Bondi Junction around that time. So I just want to start off and say thoughts and with the victims and everyone, the families, everyone's involved.
Terrible, terrible day. Yep. I mean, I'm up in Bondi Junction or friends or family are up there two or three times a week.
Mm.
Very unfortunate.
What about for the rest of the weekend, mate? Let's get into the footy. I know it's a very tough.
Sorry to start with that, but it's just we have to think about the victims.
Definitely have and to the families. Them. Yeah, them and the families. What about the rest of the weekend, mate? Happy birthday too. It's a sad way to move into a birthday shout out. But what was the weekend like with the family? And we obviously had the Aqua Rugby on Saturday as well, which was a great day, great event.
What a great day.
Shout out to BSC, everyone involved at Aqua Rugby for putting on a great event.
Yeah. You had a run on, didn't you?
I had a couple of carries. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was like, you know, when you get there, like no matter what, especially when contact's involved, like if you go and throw a footy around and play touch, Oz tag, it's sweet. But like when you know you can get hit by it, people you don't know.
Yeah.
You start to worry a little bit, but it was fun. It's I can see I've watched it now for a while from seeing it on socials over the last couple of years, but it was fun to be a part of it, and we got the job done. We're champions, BSC champions.
I mean, I was going to have a bit of a run, but I was thinking, I mean, I tore my bicep. You know what I mean? I'm one sort of hit away from that, and I don't think I could really go that easy in that because it's 5-on-5. Blokes were coming off the back fence.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what they'll do if I was playing.
You're a way bigger target than one I am, as in personality.
Yes,
as well.
They'll try and like tee people off and then it'll make me do that. And I'm like, you know what, I'll just sit back here and enjoy a couple of little vodkas on the sideline. It was good. Body Science did a really good job. Good tent there, had some good people there.
Yep. Yeah, we had a good team. Got to catch up with a few people were familiar with it. Edwin Azatazi was there.
Haven't seen Eddie for ages.
Haven't seen Eddie in a minute. And then a whole lot. Yeah, Tux was in there. Aloni. So a lot of our BSC ambassadors and athletes. We were in the same team together. And Teddy showed up.
Yeah, it was good.
It was looking good. So hopefully Teddy's back on the field ASAP.
Yeah, he feels good. He feels
as well.
Good.
So
there's a couple of blokes that we're having beers with at the start.
Yeah,
Jackson and Campbell.
Oh yeah, the Garlics.
They end up playing in the final.
Yeah, I seen that.
And I'm pretty sure they weren't ready. But they carved up.
Yeah.
They absolutely carved up. I was watching them in the warm-up. I'm like, I've been with these guys for 3 hours. They're not thinking straight. They end up carving up. Yeah,
you know,
the Garlic guys.
You know Sean Garlick's sons. They're brother.
I didn't know, but he kept talking about fucking pies.
Yeah.
And then I put it together just now.
Yeah.
He goes, do you eat pies? I said, no, not really. Because do you want some? I said, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because what about pies? I said, what sort of pies are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were the non-attainers or something like that.
Remember
who used to have those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, no, garlic pies.
Yeah, garlic pies, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know Sean Garlic. I played against Sean Garlic. What a great human. And he's raised two great boys.
Yeah, they're legends.
They're good kids.
They were at the boat party that we had as
well. Yeah, the NFL.
Yeah.
They're all time.
They get a little bit loose.
They're good kids. They're really good kids.
Their brother Bronson plays for the Storm too.
Okay.
That's Bronson Garlic. Okay, comes off the bench. A bit of a hybrid for him, yeah.
And he's done really well, Garlic, as well.
Yeah.
I don't hate his pies.
The pies are good.
I don't eat that many pies.
Well, I play at the Coast and we got him at the Coast. So at the turn, at the ninth hole, pie and sauce before we get on.
Bit of
comp on a Saturday and Sunday. That's what I got up to anyway.
He's done really well. He's killing it.
Yeah. We're killing it too, mate. Mm. Our subscriptions are flying at the moment. 23K, 33.7K on Instagram. And make sure you leave us a subscription on Apple and Spotify. Leave a podcast review. All of that stuff helps us. I say it every week, and the reason I say it is because we continue to grow as a brand, as a company, as a partnership, three ways, as a tripod. I can't thank you guys enough for continuing to support us, and we got new people that are coming on board. I've got a text here from across the ditch, is it the Atlantic Ocean? I think it could be the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know
one of those
bodies to see that well, but I'll get to that in the YouTube reply soon. But before we kick it off, mate, we talked about BSC. Oh, actually, Pardon me. Let's recap the weekend.
How'd you go on the park?
It's been a rough couple of weeks. So I started well. Roosters plus yeah. 4.5. They look good to start the week. But Manu,
Joey Manu,
despite being our of the week,
he's up there.
Of the week, he didn't score. He did everything but score. Storm minus 17.5. What an effort from the Bulldogs, Mace, to keep it so close. It almost should have won. Munster no good. Dolphins plus 7.5. That was pretty much gone when Hamisei Tabuai-Fido went off and Flegler was ruled out before the game. Manly plus 6.5. I get that, but Manly realistically should have won that game. And if Corey Waddell, hands would have done on that first try and Tommy Turbo would have gone over, but that wasn't the case. Cowboys minus 3.5. Parramatta Eels were good. Chester scored, though, at $3 for me. Sharks minus 10.5. Just get home against a very...
showed some balls, didn't they?
Yeah, big South. Effort from South Sydney. Nicola didn't score, though. Dragons plus 1.5. They beat the Tigers. That got up. Ben Hunt didn't score. The Raiders minus 8.5 looked good with about 20 minutes to go, but the Titans come storming home, and that was a classic last night, so we'll talk about that. So all up on the year, the outlay has been 960. The kitty is at 832, and the minus profit is 127.50. So
we need a couple.
Wait, 127 down.
Just get a couple.
As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season, so please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need friend and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. All right, let's get into our BSC Dog of the Week, Mace. And this one is a joint one because...
We couldn't really split it, right?
It's a couple of factors. No one really stood out like across the board, but I thought this guy kicked us off on Thursday night and he was a beast.
Yeah, and I was thinking that. I was like, yeah, you're against Newcastle, you're up there. And I know, I've played for Newcastle. And I'll play for the Roosters as well. And playing up there is fucking hard. Thursday night game, they packed it all out. They're thinking they're going all right. Like Newcastle's not going bad. They just lost to some really good teams.
Newcastle favourites.
They're fucking good. Yeah. They are good.
Yeah.
KP doesn't do a hit pointer. Like he sort of took him out for, you know, obviously the last, the first half, yeah, like the last
minutes.
Bit.
About
a little hit pointer. If no one's had a hit pointer, don't sit there and judge.
Yeah.
Right? Bang, get the needle, let the needle start wearing in. Then he started moving. Once it wears off, you're back to where he was. Joey Manu, I don't know what it is with him. How fit is that guy as well? Like just to be like, how many touches he had? Like 30 touches?
That's an underrated, 30 touches. That's an underrated part of like when you watch someone do what he does. Yeah, we understand he's strong in that, but he doesn't drink alcohol.
So no.
That's a factor.
But like he plays right side center. He might get 10 to 15 touches a game. He goes from that to covering another nearly 6 or 7K. Hit ups off the 9, supporting everywhere, out the back. Like his involvement is ridiculous. It's what a blessing for the Roosters to have that guy. Mm. That back five is ridiculous when he's going like that, they get off the back of him.
Yep.
Those big bodies. And then Smith can go, they can be dangerous if they get that shit together. Joey Manu, I can't say enough about him.
BC Dog of the Week, Joey Manu, 30 carries for 347 metres, 136 post-contact, 2 line break assists, 1 try assist, and 11 tackle breaks.
Can we be
what a dog.
Right with the stats? They said he had 370. He beat Gutho by 1 metre. Is this official? Because I want to know. Sure. I want to know. Get us in the comments.
I was chasing it today. So on the NRL website, they've got 349. Was that what I just said? 347. And then I went and checked the Fox Sports one and they had him a little bit lower around the 320s. It was reported, I think I seen it on Bloke in a Bar, said he
370, I saw.
Yeah, 370 to begin with. So let us know if you've got the official stats. That's what we found this morning. I thought he'd broken the record, but same. Even if he didn't, just
who cares?
Quickly before
He's
we move
better.
Off Joe Mo. Yeah. I've seen a lot of comments and around it, and you can be critical of one thing when it comes to the Joey Manu situation about not playing there, and you can start looking at ways that he could be a part of it. But I think it's almost like sad to think that he will never, if the reports are true that he's going to be heading over to French rugby, that you never really saw Joey Manu for a full season at fullback because we've seen him perform so well for the Kiwis at fullback.
He's ridiculous.
And the one part that he needs work on for sure is his ball playing and being able to strip defenders. I mean, the Daniel Tupou pass was reasonable at best. Like it was, it was forward. And even that was his one try assist. He still needs a little bit of work on it. But You look at Chance Nicol-Klokstad, for instance, like that wasn't his bread and butter at the Canberra Raiders, but because he got so many
pre-seasons
reps
at fullbacks. Reps, habits. You never like, got, he doesn't get that.
We're never going to see that from Joe Manu.
Teddy takes all the reps in that second string fullback would be doing that. Joey just sits on the right side. He's got that mad flick. He's got, he can beat that person. That's his bread and butter, right? It ain't the nice, you know, the crisp hands, the three on twos, all that stuff. He doesn't have to do it. And it sucks because he probably will go to French rugby.
Yeah. It sounds like
he's probably going to go down as one of the best centers in the game, slash fullbacks, slash 5'8". It's just talent.
There'll be
just talent.
It'll be one of the best centers of all time with an asterisk next to fullback and 5'8".
Like, it'll be because why did he play fullback? Because he had arguably one of the greatest fullbacks in front of him with Tedesco.
And then even when they don't both play, Joseph Swali, he goes right there at fullback as well.
Bad combination.
They're so blessed at the Roosters, and that's again why we're so critical last week, right? When we're talking about the Roosters. All right, let's get to the YouTube replies, mate, and then we'll get into the games nice and quick.
Yep.
This one I just wanted to chuck in because I thought it's cool, and I mentioned it before. I don't know the bodies to see that well, but this one's from Tex Merck. G'day from Texas, USA. Chooks would prove a big point if they can win tonight. Well, you're right, Tex Merck. They got the job done, but I just wanted to chuck that in because shout out to Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
It's just cool, you know.
We're big
like,
in Texas.
You know, we do the potty over here, and we run into people, whether it's, you know, at the Aqua Rugby or events we go to. But
a lot of love.
Whether it's – I don't know if you're an expat over there in Aussie or maybe it is due to the game being shown in the US. Yeah. Maybe we've got a couple of American fans that are listening in. No, you did good work at promoting the game while you're over there as well, Mace. This one is from Benjamin Kendall. Hey, legends, how awesome would a magic round be with all the teams wearing the heritage kits? Throwback vibes and a huge audience get to see the jerseys all at once.
Did you say that last week?
No, I said they should all use it for the same week, but not magic round.
Magic round would be good.
Magic round's a good show.
It's a good idea.
Yep.
I like
you
it.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do.
You like that one?
And I think that's a great, that's a great idea.
But I like it. I like it. Heritage jersey. My one pushback would be Magic Round so big, all the sponsors would be like, nah, you're not removing our sponsor on Magic Round because everyone's watching.
Well, you get the same sponsor, don't you? Everything?
No, because
You're not putting the Canberra milk on there. You're still going
to
put
– there's back sponsors as well that you'd have to remove for the name and number that we tossed up. For my part of it was if you do the heritage jersey and you want to sell a shitload of jerseys, put the name and number on there as well. Imagine like a Ponga one. How many kids would be rocking a Reece Walsh or a Ponga one?
Money, I think the clubs. That's all they're about, making money.
Yeah,
they're going to sell a shitload of jerseys.
Oh, regardless, they'll sell jerseys.
Sponsors would be a little bit angry.
I think yeah,
you're paying half a mil for the back.
Do you think so? Even as like an ex player. If you were to potentially pay Magic Round back in the day, right?
Mm.
And
playing Newcastle,
you get
your OG one.
You're playing for the Bulldogs. Sonny Bill's playing for the Roosies. Got 11 Bill Williams. You got 11 Mason. Fuck, you'd be more inclined to swap that after a game too. You know, it'd be cool for the players.
I'd be mad. I reckon it'd be great.
Yeah,
both ideas are great.
All right, here's the questions. Starting off with James Gozo. Nothing beats level podcast on a Thursday. Listen to half on the way, half from work, and the other half on the way to footy training. Question, lads. New to playing league and playing on the wing, who would be your best wingers to study? Can be past or current. Love the podcast and really makes me feel like I can immerse myself in the sport.
Yeah, it depends how old you are, kid. Look at Brian Toto. Look at his defense. Because I think he's the best defensive winger. I think he's slept on because he makes so many meters. But like his defensive systems that he's in out at Penrith, I think they're the best. I'll be looking at Penrith. I'll be looking at Taruva. I'll be looking at To'o because they've got the best system.
To'o's been the premium winger for the last three years, but they always talk about
his attack. I'm just like, his defense is mint. You don't really get around him.
You know what matters too? Like James Gozo, watch your body shape as well. That's important. Like Brian To'o would be about 5'8". 5'9".
Don't disrespect him, mate. I think he's a bit taller.
He's not a Reddy Matua 6'9". I know that.
I reckon he's taller than Ren, and he's 5'8".
Yeah. Or are you a taller winger like the complete opposite, Dom Young, for the Sydney Roosters? Like, try to find your body shape, I would say would be my best advice.
Who would you look at?
Apart
from Todd, would you look at Dom Young's defensive systems? He's picked up a bit more.
Yep.
He was Newcastle's system's not that good defensively up there.
I'm trying to find someone who's sort of in the middle range. Someone who's like, you know, 6'1". Here we go.
Schilling kid, the kid from Canberra.
Oh, here we go. So Lukey's just put in Brian To'o is 182 centimetres. So what's that?
It's what is that, Lukey?
So I'm
I reckon he's 5'10, 5'11.
But you know, Oi, whenever it comes to measurements,
he's lying.
If you're small, you always go up. And if you're a light dude, you always put your kilos up. And if you're a big guy, you always put your kilos down.
Well, I'm 196 centimeters, so
he's saying 6 foot. Brian Totler's not 6 foot.
Bro, he ain't 6 foot.
He ain't 6 foot.
That's Renny Matua.
Yeah, that's Renny Matua 6 foot. He's 5'11 at best, 5'10.
Yeah.
it's crack up when, but the, you know, when you see the
we're only having a go at Ren because Ren thinks he's 6 foot.
Yeah, in whenever and the boys put up
about
the measurements,
a centimeter off.
Yeah, so that would be my advice. Go find someone that's, you know, similar size. Some of the
speed.
Some of the great wingers of the past, like the Wendell Sailors,
Josh Morris, the Morris twins,
the
man.
Morris twins.
Go and have a look how they defend.
Yes,
some of the best ever.
Yeah, Morris twins would be right up there. It says 5'9". What you just said it was 6 foot. Now it's 5'9", 7'1", 1'3".
The data was wrong.
The data was wrong. Okay, so Lukey's changed it again. Okay, Mace, this isn't a question. This is just a really nice comment from someone on YouTube. This is from Warren Godson, and he'll never forget this moment, mate. Never forget what Willie did at Belmore one day. My son's team came down to play Canterbury Boys High in a Buckley Shield semi-final, and we turned up to Belmore to train, and the Bulldogs were still training there. So the coach said, you can't be here as we are still training. Willie's came over to the boys and said, it's okay, come and meet the players. For 14-year-old boys, they thought it was Christmas for a bunch of country kids. So well done, Mace. And I always say this to people whenever anyone asks me about you, and we always get real condescending or backhanded compliments to you.
Always,
I always thought Willie Mason was a flog and all this sort of stuff, but this is a side of you that I don't think a lot of people see. I know you it's hard for me to sort of say this to you now, and and embarrassing you a little bit, but you do a lot of work with the youth, and feel like this needs to be
little things like that, like because I know being. I always put myself in those shoes, right? Imagine being a 14-year-old kid turned up to
Toronto West from Toronto West.
Yeah, from Toronto, going to Newcastle training, and you're 14 years old.
Yeah,
you want to be near him, right? And I'm like, and I could see him. I could see him there.
Yeah, you remember that? You remember the day?
Yeah, most kids, I just went, who cares? Just wait around here.
Yeah,
get all the boys to come over when we finish.
Yeah, awesome.
Because we're nearly finished. Like we're doing like either extras or anything like that. And the coaches, you know, the coaches are pretty strict on shit. Like fucking, they're not going to tell you to go away, but they don't really want. You know,
they also get like, especially if it's like close to the end of the week, they start getting paranoid about people watching the training.
It would have been captain's run.
Yeah,
it would have been a captain's run. They just rock up because Belmore's public. You can just roll in there.
Yeah,
anyone, anywhere,
and double
unless booked. unless we lock the gates.
Yeah,
yeah, you can just roll in there and just and have a look. So yeah, and back then, yeah, coaches would get a little bit paranoid.
Yeah.
Film coaches. Everyone's got particular, like, same sort of plays, but like.
I think now because the game is so heavily recorded, like, there's just so much information everywhere.
It's so easy to do, man.
Yeah. Like, now I think the coaches understand that there's, you know, like, back in the day, a big thing was at the start of the week, keeping changes on the down low.
Yeah.
Oh, don't let them know about this. Doesn't matter now. If a kid gets named at the start of the week, it's going to be out within a couple of hours. No one can keep a secret anymore.
Nah. You know, have a look at South Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a prime example.
I was listening to Gordy and I think Jimmy Graham talk about it. And one of the journos was like, he was going word for word what fucking someone said.
Yeah.
Alex Johnson about Latrell, like threw them all under the bus.
Mm.
Fucking dogs. Shit like that should never, ever fucking happen.
What do you got for Suzuki?
Yeah.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. That was word for word. And then he throws Alex Johnson under the bus about what he said about Latrell because Latrell wasn't in the room.
Oh, that conversation. Yeah, I heard that. But that's just rumored, right? That's like – Shamus. Carry on.
Well, then what if it's not true?
Yeah.
What if it's not true?
Then and then it's bad reporting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It must have fucking happened. You're not going to throw AJ under the bus like that with Latrell unless you just hate the club and you're trying to start fires because that's fucking awful.
Producer Luke, he's on fire today. Oh, there we go. Luke, you've been doing some fucking homework over the weekend.
Because someone in that room has told the fucking journo straight away, this is what happened. So that's disgusting.
I'll just report what Lukey said. So Lukey just said, because people can't hear it, that Shamus called Demetrio to get confirmation on the story. And although he didn't confirm it, he did also didn't deny it. And you could tell he was shocked. Lukey said it sounded like he was shocked. So was that on the Sunday Footy Show too? Well, yeah, Sunday Footy Show. Okay. There you go.
Wade Graham was talking about it as well with Jimmy Graham. Yeah. Everyone was just – anyone who's been in that – that's an inner sanctum. That should never, ever get out. You should be able to say whatever the fuck you want to whoever. If it's like this, is this confrontational shit, it fucking stays there.
But that's my point, Mace. This is the world we live in now.
Like, yeah, but not that bad. Not when it's just the players.
Yeah.
It should never get out. Like, why are you telling a fucking journo anything?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, what happened today at training, mate? So, oh, this happened. So get the fuck out of the club.
So who do you reckon it
I don't know. From?
So was it? So that was
it definitely wouldn't have been AJ ringing.
So yeah, he's not.
Someone who's in that room at that time.
And with that specific,
probably playing reserve grade.
With that specific story, so AJ was like the stuff that AJ said isn't that bad towards Latrell as well. In a closed environment, like
we shouldn't be celebrating him kneeing Fox there. You right?
Yeah,
so that was a conversation.
But like specifically around that comment, that's shit that gets says in video all the time, right?
Yes,
but it should never leave the video.
Never. And this would have been in their private, like when you do back fives, it would have been back five stuff, and that's great work, whoever the coach said, that's great work from Latrell. And he's like, we shouldn't be celebrating that shit.
Yeah.
He got sent off, now he's out for 3 weeks. We shouldn't be celebrating that. That's fair enough. That's fucking leadership.
Yep.
AJ's got the balls to say that, and he's got the runs on the board to say that.
Yep.
That's just like, that's great.
The best teams keep each other accountable that. So it does take a lot of balls to say it, even more so when it's a star
player. But they're making it a big deal because it's about Latrell.
And because that's the nature of where Souths are at the moment.
But that's what happens when you're in a sport like this, and there's confrontational sort of meetings all the time when you're in there. When someone fucks up, you make them. That's what great leadership. That's what it does. Coaches will question you, and fucking good players will as well.
Yeah,
that's what happens. It should never. My bottom should never ever fucking get out.
Yeah, it shouldn't get out.
That is disgraceful.
Yeah. All right, mate, let's get into the footy review on the games. The Roosters, 22, defeated the Knights, 20. As you mentioned when we were discussing the BSC Dogs of the Week, it was the 20-minute period where the Roosters went bang, bang after the Daniel Tupou try, where they were basically just rolling through the ruck. They made a couple of breaks. Shout out to Joey Manu, who was our BSC Dog of the Week.
Dog.
But KP just couldn't get up a couple of times. And the cheese try in particular.
He couldn't get up. He was on the ground.
He couldn't move. But credit to the Roosters too, because they were playing nice and direct.
Thank you.
They found a weakness and they just kept on going at it. And then credit to KP in the second half for bouncing back.
I was talking about hit pointers before. Yeah. Like, it's like having just a dead leg on your – like, it's an awful feeling. Yeah. That's why you couldn't get up and power through it.
It's actually really it's sharp
pain.
Yeah,
it's an awful feeling. How sharp did he look in the first 20, I was looking forward to seeing him.
And in the second half, he started to look himself again.
Stepping everywhere. The needle kicked in. He was good. But they, when they're like that, the Roosters, and this is what's going to be, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, right? What happens if they win when Connor Watson's a runner and then you got Keary who's just orchestrating?
Mm.
And then when you get Sam Walker back, where do you put him?
How much better do they look?
Someone needs to run. Someone needs to direct.
When both of them are there playing, they play sideline to sideline. Whenever one of them is missing, for some reason, they both play direct again.
Yeah. It's weird because Keary's the 5'8".
Yeah.
He should be just running more. Sam Walker can be doing whatever he wants. And then, like, I think Keary's the runner. Otherwise, someone's going to go after this year because I'll figure it out because Brandon Smith's playing lights out football. He'll go after quick play the balls, Lindsay Smith, after – the back five just comes at you with like 6'5" timber, bang, bang, bang. Joey Manu, he'll run. Then Victor they'll Radley. Kick. Do you know what I mean? Like Radley's off the back fence.
Cheese has had a good
day. Crichton looked like fucking he's back to his best again.
Cheese had a good month. I had Crichton for 2 points in that game. I thought he was outstanding
as well.
Terrell May for me is their in-form prop of the year so far. And he just got extended. So shout out to Terrell May.
What about like
the Mays are getting paid, baby.
The couple of plays that he had late in that game.
The tip
fucking
on.
One in the game.
Yeah, the tip
but
on.
But what about through? The little kick from Crossland?
Yeah. Nah,
stopped. Game over. Weapon.
Yep.
Like,
I've been like
110 kilo.
I've been saying this now, and this is where me and you get a little bit different sometimes on opinion, right? You got mad respect for the OGs, and shout out to the OG.
Hargraves, I like him.
Hargraves is a 300 gamer. Terrell May, for me, is their best prop this year. Should be starting over Jared. And Jared can bring that power off the bench.
It's different starting a game, mate. It's different. You need that dog like Jared.
But he also has started.
He is. He's all right, but he needs when he comes, he needs to get off the back fence a couple of times. I'd love to see that because he does have – because I think he's a product of being – I don't think he was a front rower his whole life, right? I think he would have been playing the backs. When he was younger, he would have been a lot smaller, right?
Yep.
And he would have had mad footwork and shit. Now you're like 6'4", 110 kilo. Run through people.
So Jared played 32 minutes, had 5 carries for 43 meters.
Yeah.
Well, then he's getting to that point of his career. Time, man. Come on. Of course. But it's getting to that point of his career where I'm like, I understand you got to give respect to some of the OGs to a point, but when you're getting that sort of output from players, then for me, you start him, and then Jared can play that 30, because if he's only going to play 20 or 30 minutes, and this isn't like – sometimes it feels like I'm being very critical of the OGs. Father time is undefeated. No one has beat age ever. You get to a point in your career.
When a fear factor comes into it, right? When you're reading the team list, when you read Terrell May and when you read Hargraves who's starting,
that comes into account
because when you're at the other prop, you're like, fuck, he's going to give me 20 minutes and I'm just going to give me the whole, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be an 80-minute war with Hargraves, but he's going to fucking come at me.
Yep.
You know, when you're not Terrell May, he's like, he's going to come off the bench, give me good minutes. There's no fear factor there at all. If you're another prop on the other side, you're like, yeah, well, it's fucking, you ain't worried, mate, trust me. But you're fucking still worried about Hargraves.
Yeah.
He's got that shit in him.
I would say.
And he'll fucking go at you.
The strength of Terrell May too is he actually gets better as the game goes on.
He's so fit.
Yeah, his fitness levels are fucking outstanding.
Mate, it's outstanding. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he can get nice little pass, but like, fucking real direct running because he slows his momentum down because he fucking steps too much before the line.
Yeah.
Like, mate, back fencing. I'm pretty sure he's quick. I haven't seen him do it yet. I want to see him do it.
Yeah.
He's got all the other skills that you want a big prop to have, but I need him come off the back fence because I think Lindsay Collins is doing that better than him at the moment.
Yep.
So he's a future of that club, man. He can play. How old is Terrell May?
Terrell May is about 24, 25.
Yeah, he's coming into his prime.
Yeah, that's the prime years for a front rower.
And he's got skills. So he won him the game.
You know what? One thing that I noticed as well, yeah, he did like those two plays
he won.
And then the quick tip on.
Yeah, then the save.
So nice.
It's beautiful.
And the little grubber at the end. That's nice soft hands to come up with that play.
It's beautiful. In the 79th minute, like he's been out there from when Hargraves came on. He's been out there for 60.
Yeah, he played 60, 58, 60 or something.
Love it.
You know, one thing I noticed as well too that I, you know, just a little positional change. So I believe this is signs, and this is maybe Robbo identifying the signs of times at the moment. Oh, does that sound right? Signs.
Sounds cool.
It's wrong.
Signs of time.
Sign of the times. That's the one. Thank you, Lukey. With wingers these days, and what's happening? We look at, you know, we're going to talk about Zach Lomax and the Dragons right now. Instead of bringing Junior Pongo onto the wing. To replace who was the center missing? Oh, because Joe Marnie went to fullback and put Joseph Swali'i back into the centers. They played Joseph Swali'i on the wing.
Better.
And you get two wingers, 6 foot plus, just bringing the ball back. So Daniel Tupou had 237. Joe Manu had 228. And Joseph Swali'i had 228 as well.
The way I'm seeing Swali'i develop, right, he's 20 years old. His best football has been at fullback or wing.
Yep.
When he can either create a lot by himself, because if you give him early ball at left center or right center, he don't have that mad palm. He doesn't have that real crazy step like a Willy Tonga step, Mark Gasnier, shake your palm. He just wants to run through you.
He's a swerver.
So if you can put him at the fullback, he can have a look wherever he wants to run. And if you put him on the left wing or the right wing, he just fucking beelines for you, steps one time, swerves, boom, and he'll just
get the bumpers.
It's me versus you.
Yeah.
I'm fucking strong, and he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Bumpers are out, finds his front, gets off the quick play of the ball. But as a center,
he loses momentum on the shift, because he needs to wind up.
He needs to wind up. He needs 10 or 15 to really come at you. When you get early ball, he can only just, you know, he's He's not really shaking you. He's not a pure center. That's why I think when he plays fullback for the Wallabies, he's going to fucking destroy teams.
Yeah, his kick returns are going to be strong. Oh, and he can boot the ball long as well. So
mate, he's a
center. He can still do that on the wing in rugby union as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm a rugby union expert now.
Of course you are. do you think that? Like, I was just looking at him. As you look at his game.
So much better on the wing.
You're way better on the wing or fullback.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And that Junior Pongo, like, he is.
He's got skills.
He's all right. He's okay. You can chuck him in the centers. I actually don't think that there's a big difference between centers and wingers these days. And I actually prefer probably my better athletes, like Zach Lomax, like Swalee. I like them better on the wing.
That was probably the most entertaining point of the whole, like, football of the whole weekend, was just seeing Mulatalo and Lomax and these wingers just showing this acrobatics. You know how hard it is to fucking chase a ball 30 meters in front of you and then just catch it by yourself and then offload it. Some of the shit that Zach Lomax and Mulatalo was doing.
Did you see the
unbelievable?
You see the Xavier Coates try sister, Emma Smith? Like these wingers now, they're freaks. Different. They're different, man. And they're getting better and better. And I'm telling you, like I said this now for a while, I would lean towards paying my wingers more than I would centers. And that's just my opinion, but we'll see as the season goes on what sort of
who sets the market.
Yeah,
right? Someone's got to set the market. Like, just say Xavier Coates comes off the wing. I mean, off contract. How much is he signed for?
All right, here's one. The same. I thought Remus Smith was really good. If you're Melbourne Storm and they're off contract at the same time, Remus Smith and Xavier Coates. Who's your priority?
Xavier Coates.
Yeah.
Simply because I think he could play a lot of positions as well.
Okay,
I think he's just a wing.
Okay, the other side, Nick Meaney and Will Warbrick.
Yeah, Warbrick. That's a hard one.
You know what
one.
I mean? So go to the Knights.
Let's go to another. Give me some other ones.
Well, so the other one, the example that I had at the start of the year, right, was Dallin Weitzel-Zelezniak or Rocco Berry.
Yeah, fuck.
I'm
mainly going with wingers because I want my wingers running like those dudes.
Okay, the other side. This is before Roger turned up. Roger's an exception. Marcelo Montoya or Adam Pompey?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate.
Montoya, right?
Montoya. Yeah. There's only a couple of fucking OG centers when you got like a Marju and a Best.
Yeah.
Right? You're picking Best. Gags.
Still maybe picking Marju.
Before Best.
Just,
come on, bro.
Just Best.
Yeah,
no.
Way ahead.
Not landslide. Not for me anyway.
Fucking what?
I love Marju. I'm a big Marju guy. And especially because if I can get Marju for 500 and Best for 800, give me Marju every day of the week. That's my point with it. Not like for value.
Who else?
When you bring value into it. So here we go. So
who's the best centers in the game? Katoni Staggs or Cobbo?
Well, that's a question I've got for a little bit later, but that's because those two are centers at the moment. Mm. And I think only one of them is going to be able to stay. But Katoni Staggs and Cobbo, you're having them over Marin and Arthurs. But even Arthurs is.
I like Arthurs. He's still not coming near both those guys.
He's not. But
Val Holmes or Tuilagi? Val Holmes.
Val Holmes for 800 or Tuilagi for 500?
Yeah, I don't think he's getting 500 if he's off contract. His next contract, I reckon he'll set the market, Tuilagi.
Who, Tuilagi?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's a good conversation.
Yeah, it is. Mate. Because back in the day, who are you picking? The center's always the big dog, man.
In a heartbeat.
Willie Tonga or Matt Utai? Ooh, shit.
Ooh.
Love you both. I'm not picking.
Yeah, big pimping because back in that day,
those two were the fucking best. Separate those two.
All right. Before we move off this game, let's get back to the Knights. The Dane Gagai no try, which sucks because that was a fuck. That was vintage.
A mad
guys.
Try.
That was, you know, he hates hearing the term origin gags because it feels like it's a backhanded compliment.
He's the dude.
But that move was so good. But obviously, Keary, for me, again, this is it is black and white. Mm. Keary outside shoulder, but these halves.
Smart defenders, mate.
These halves now are sitting right on the back rower's shoulder.
And they're there.
You can't not run into them. And once they get close, they're committing with their outside shoulder now.
Because imagine the line you'd have to run to get on an inside shoulder, right? Because you've got to be wide. You've got to run across field. That's how tight Keary is, right? Yeah. I'm like, he's right next to Crichton. I think Crichton's here. He's there. He could probably touch him like that. But smart. It's smart defense.
Yeah, it is.
Because like this guy, like if you just say the lead runner you'd have to run like the stupidest line and you're not going to engage anyone.
And you might even clip Crichton too in the
– yeah.
Because he's so close. If you try to go so hard on the inside, then you actually might clip the back row and still be an obstruction.
And if I was a three-man, I'll be looking at the way Kyrie in that defense. Mm. Defend like that.
I send it so a lot over the weekend.
So
I think, I think more teams are doing the fan shape than the up and in. I think that'll be the way that teams defend now with the obstruction rule for sure.
Especially with a good lead runner. Mm. Like when you've got a Kalol Matangi, if you've got a Frizzell, those guys who run really good leads, Crichton, they'll be really tucked into their four man.
Yeah. I thought Kai Pierce-Paul was
– it's probably his best game he played.
He's so good, mate. Yeah, he's going to be a real player for him.
Figure it out.
I think, and I've said this now for a couple of weeks, the Knights are missing an X factor. Mm. I want to see him have a crack at Will Price and see what he's got. Jack Cogger's safe. You know what you're going to get from Jack Cogger. He squares up nice. He's been a nice compliment. Him and Hastings are the same for me. They're two halfbacks. It's like the Kyrie and Walker debate. Well,
Hastings is way better.
Hastings has been good.
Way better.
Hastings has been good the last couple of weeks. And I think they both square up nicely. They both play on ball. I think they need someone that can create something. So Kalen doesn't feel like he needs to create everything.
Would you start him, Price, or do you come off the bench for a couple of games?
Get him in. Just get him straight in. Let's have a look, because like
they're 2-4, right?
Yep, 2-4.
A lot of teams are 2-4.
Yeah. Like it's safe to keep Cogger in there, and look, you probably bought him for a decent lick, but I think if you look at what Kai Pierce-Paul has done, he's arguably the most dangerous player outside of Kalen in the Newcastle Knights team with the second phase that he's providing. I don't know. Just
starting to get more confidence. He only played 5 games. Don't be in such a rush to see this kid be killing it. Like he showed what he could do against a great Roosters defense, man.
Yeah,
a couple of line breaks, getting some more one-on-ones, like trying to find his sleep, paying big minutes, doing a lot of work. I like Jacob Saifidi.
Yeah, he's been better the last couple of – him and Leo Thompson have been a lot better the last couple of weeks.
Thompson's like a little Fisher Harris.
Mm, he is.
He's a young fish. He's a young little fish. Can you see the fucking build on him? His back's like that.
I heard Joey speak about it. When he played in the New Zealand Maldives with James Fisher Harris a couple of years ago, he reckons that changed his mindset about where he is and what sort of player he is.
He can handle himself, man. Fish is a dude.
You can see some fish in him, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I see it.
He
looks like it.
Yeah, he does. The first game on Friday night, the Storm just scrape home against the Bulldogs. Mace.
My boys.
They go down another close one, but
fuck.
Bulldogs fans, I don't know. Bulldogs fans will be proud, but they'd sort of be getting over these close losses.
I was going to say that. It's going to be one of those years where they just compete, and it's fucking heartbreaking. Mm. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You can see the effort that they put in to get, like the amount of players that they had out, right? Storm had a full deck, and they still out down 10-0, and they should have won.
Yeah.
They should have won. Can't fucking die against Melbourne, man. You have to play to the 80th minute to get those guys.
Well,
I love that game plan, but
yeah, it was
wide, boom, straight through the middle, offloads. You got to play football against Melbourne.
Well, do you think it's a sign of? It's good coaching.
I've
been really critical of the middles. You're missing a couple of middles, and it's been obvious, right? Gus has been going after Adam Fanua, Blake, Terrell May, some of the names that he was looking for. They're trying to find a front row. At the moment, they don't have it. So you play Jake Turpin at lock, and then you bring Bailey Haywood on a little bit later on. Smaller guys. So what do you do? Play footy rather than just try to knock down the front door with a lighter pack, play a little bit of footy on them.
I love it. And play to your strengths, right?
Yeah.
Look at our left side. Kick ours on a fucking tear.
Yeah, Bronson Cherry's looking good.
Bronson Cherry was great. Good to see the Cherry come back and look sharp. Fox looked good. Everyone was there. But that's our strength.
Mm.
It's outside backs. Back row's good. You know, halves can, you know, plays decent football, good kicking game, and we're gritty and we hustle.
Mm.
It's all we want.
Let's start with the winners though, and we'll get to more Bulldogs after this and a few players and the Sam Hughes Simbin, which I didn't like. This is three games now. Yeah, he deserves to be sin-binned for being dumb, in my opinion.
Like
it was stupid. But let's get to the Storm culture. Now this is three games they've won at home. Just got home against the Dogs. Just got home against a weakened Broncos team, and the Xavier Coates try against the Warriors in the last minute.
Yeah, they could be really down the bottom.
So. Positive or are you concerned about the Storm? Like what's their form line really like? If they drop maybe at least one, maybe two of those games, how do we view the Storm this year?
They didn't. So they don't care.
Okay.
All they're going to do is build. We won those games. We scraped through. You know what I mean? Who cares what – everyone goes after Melbourne. You've got to bring your best game against Melbourne. You are bringing your A game against Melbourne. You bring it against Penrith. They're the guys all the time. You have to bring it.
They've normally been so clinical down there in years past, though.
They just haven't got the same cattle either. Yeah. You got to look at some of those players out there. They're decent first graders, but they're just not the fucking teams that we're used to facing.
Yeah, the vets in the middle.
Yeah, man. Like, it's like they're a different team, but they've still got it. Pappenhausen was still good. Money was still good. Jerome's still good. When it come to the crunch – you know what I mean?
The that bus
ball,
it's
like fucking Jerome Hughes got out of that tackle, boom, boom. Munster puts that ball on fucking Bloor's chest. Bad defensive read, fucking game over.
You like the look of Joe Chan in the first 2 weeks. We both did. Yeah, but Sean happened? Bloor's looked good as
Bloor
well.
Looks better.
He missed a couple of games of injury, Joe Chan. He's opened up the door for Bloor.
Yeah.
Who do you like better?
Bloor? I like Bloor better.
You like Bloor better?
I saw him last week and he just looked a lot sharper. I think Chan probably needs a couple more games. I don't know, maybe off the bench or somewhere in the middle so he can find his feet a little bit more.
Yeah.
He just wasn't getting enough ball.
Yeah.
And he was left side back row.
He was, yeah.
Like, you know, that's the lion's share of the ball.
Yeah.
I think it coincided with Munster.
Yeah, but he never played with Munster
too.
No,
I'm saying
Joe
like
Chan.
He didn't play with Munster, yeah. So they're all over the shop. He had Pezzett,
yep.
Jody Highroller.
what about so Tui got injured in this game. Could open up the door for a big nasty calf, I think. He just tweaked his calf.
First 5 minutes.
Yeah. So we could see the return of Big Nasty.
I hope so. I hope they've settled their beef down there. I'm not sure what's going on. Because did he not re-sign last year?
He did. Maybe the year.
Pissing belly off somewhere.
The end of the year, yeah.
Something's happened there.
Yeah, but he.
Otherwise, you're playing him.
He's been going good. I think he's played for the North Sydney now the last couple of weeks.
You want to imagine what he'd do in reserve grade.
Yeah, of course, but
fuck! Look what he does in first grade.
These are the standards that Melbourne.
I know, and that's what you've got to love about the culture, right? You've got a guy like Nas, arguably one of the most damaging forwards in the game. He's not towing the line properly somewhere. You're in reserve grade, kid.
Yeah. Back to your Dogs, mate. You know what I love about the Sherry edition in particular is that it moves your left edge away from being so top heavy. So when. Yeah. If you were defending the Bulldogs, you would look at them and go, all right, you put so much energy in the left edge because it was Burton, Kickow, Crichton, and Fox.
Yeah.
Now the right edge is so much stronger, especially when Preston gets back. Mm. On the right, you've got Preston, Crichton, and Karaz moves to the wing.
He's
a weapon, mate.
Ran over 300 metres.
He's a weapon.
Weapon.
Your biggest problem, though, on that right edge is the halves at the moment. Hutchinson, look, he competes really hard, but I think it's time. He's not going to be the long-term answer. And I think there are a few moments where he cut back in and ran when the hands would have done and at least shift it and let's see what they can do. Mm. But he plays a very conservative style of footy because it's just not in his nature. He knows his role. I think it's time to either have a look at Sexton and see what Sexton can do with this team. I think this is a better team than what Sexton played with last year, and specifically that right edge, because my biggest concern on Sexton is his defense. But if you have Crichton next to him, that's going to help him out a whole heap.
Heaps.
And then – or I heard on –
I reckon Hutchinson's defense is good.
Oh, yeah, he is. No, his Hutchinson's defense is good.
Yeah, he's good, eh?
Because he has a go. That's why he's in the team, in my opinion. But attacking-wise, I think he too often – gets spooked from wedging defenders and he steps back in when they're – you've got to show some composure as a half and make the pass and find the play.
If I'm the back rower, I'm like, don't take it, please. Just give me early ball.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
I'm just saying, like, just don't run yourself. Just give me the ball.
Yeah.
I'd rather just say playing with Shifty or other halves. I don't want you to run the ball when you can easily pass it to me.
Yeah.
You set up the next play.
Yeah. Let me build momentum and play them in the short side or whatever.
And if you're the coach, you don't want your halves getting tackled too much when they don't have to.
Yeah.
Give it to the other big boy outside you. Don't dummy and go unless he's going to score.
What about the debutant, mate? So shout out to Bailey Haywood, makes his debut. He's a hooker at the moment. But
he was a half.
Someone on the mowers said he can play
half. He's a half.
Yeah.
No, he come through the system as a half.
Well, let's have a look at him, eh?
I'll ring Ciro for I'll tell Ciro and Gus. Yeah. What do you mean?
Not for me. I think there's Bulldogs fans that we get in the comments.
I think I don't think he's played himself out of the team.
Mm.
Hutchinson.
Yep.
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, because you know why they're competing so hard.
He competes hard and he does all the little things that you want.
Kick chase.
Yeah. He's got that. You know, it's just, you know, if you've
It's a tough one. These are the toughest decisions to make. Outside of OGs who are reaching that time where you're like, all right, there might be a younger cattle coming through. And the hardest one to do is the under-talented player that rips in every week.
Yes, he's that, right?
He
epitomizes everything that you want with your standards.
Yes.
So what you stand for, he's doing everything every single week.
But he lacks a bit of polish.
Getting dropped.
Yeah, so they're the hardest decisions to make for sure.
Fucking very hard. And he's a good dude. You know what I mean? Legend. Like, he's one of the best blokes. You know,
he's a good clubman.
Imagine being in that position if you're a head coach. You're like, what am I going to do? He does everything I want him to do.
Yeah.
Sorry, he's not fucking JT.
He just can't make the big plays when we're required. All right, the second game, Broncos defeat the Dolphins 28-14. People were critical of this game. Sometimes you get a gauge. I look at comments on our YouTube comments and then you see other social medias.
High quality.
The Dolphins were having a real good crack to begin with. Mm. I give full credit to the Broncos because Broncos defense was outstanding.
I was about to say that.
Outstanding.
They're a team.
They are.
You put Haas back there, get a full strength Walsh.
Reynolds.
Reynolds back. Piakura, their back row on the left side.
Jordan Rickey was supposed to be out. His ankle was fucked. He played 76 minutes.
The way they
move
and the way they defend is like, they're like Penrith-esque. Yeah. They're moving with the ball. Like, look, how many times did the Dolphins look like they had a massive overlap?
Yeah, looked like they're about to score.
And
a
then,
couple
like,
of times.
You know, Hammer was in the clear, and it's just like, boom.
Yeah.
It just shuts down. Everyone's moving so good. They're so fit. They're a very good team.
Yeah, they are.
Very good team.
Yeah.
Very well coached.
Dean Mariner was being really good the first 5 weeks. Yeah. He misses Corey Oates. He had a couple of blunders, but still, they work hard for each other, these teams, don't they? They've got, I think, like, because I've been critical because I want to see more of Xavier Willison, who looked great, obviously. But when you got guys like Fletcher Bacon, Corey Jensen, and Kobe Hetherington, they've got really good movements defensively. I think in this day and age now, coaches are looking at. I think as fans, because a lot of people what super coaches and all this sort of stuff, they look at the stats. But defense is going to win comps in this competition and the momentum. And if you've got good movements defensively, then you're going to be a really good.
And that's
team.
What Willison like. That's what he needs. He's still working on.
He's
that.
He's still a big body. Yep.
Yeah, but like, can you have him and that other big dude,
Takura?
You can't have two big bodies like that.
So give me
one of them.
So give me Payne Haas, and I think Corey Jensen.
Jensen's done enough
to start.
He's an under gamer.
I want Xavier Willison and I want Kobe Hetherington guaranteed. And then it comes down, for me, it's a coin flip between Fletcher Baker and Takura.
The more Willison scores easy tries like that, the more confidence he'll grow and he'll be just like a fucking beast.
He called for it too.
Trust me, man. He's not scared of anything. No. I had a good chat with him in Vegas, man.
Yeah.
Really good chat.
Yep.
You dominate this fucking game, big boy. You just need more games under your belt, a bit more experience. And I said, there's nothing you should be afraid of in this game.
He looks like a bit of a hybrid of Payne Haas and then Tino Fasilmalali. Yeah. He's got the mullet and he's sort of got Tino's
swag, man.
Footwork with Payne's power.
But I'm like, what are you scared of in this game? The only thing you're scared of when you're that big is fatigue.
Mm.
I said, there's no one that can scare you in this game. I said, no one's going to hit you. No. Even if you run flat out of them. They can't hit you high. They can't fight you. Yep. Where's the fear factor? There's no fear factor in the game. The only fear factor in the game is you being fatigued, getting fucking caught, not coming across or something like that.
Yep.
I said, am I right? He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, you will dominate this fucking game. Look at you. Mm. Built for this game, kid. 6'6", 120, footwork, late footwork, offload. Like, he's got everything. You said, mate, you should dominate this game, mate. It shouldn't be hard for you.
You know the beauty of these young guys that are coming through, whether it's Willison or Takura, who's only played one game. You've only got to look at your two leaders. Now, Payne hasn't been playing, but fuck me, Paddy Carrigan has been outstanding. He was going to be my dog of the week if I had to, but we couldn't go past Joe Manu. It was outstanding, so we agreed on that. Paddy Carrigan, he's been close to I think he's got back-to-back.
He's got the most meters out of any forward in the game.
Oh, he's killing it.
And that's like putting Fenua Blake up there, who averages like about 220 a game, Fenua Blake.
Yeah.
So he's doing more. Yeah. Obviously, he's getting the lion's share of the ball. He's getting everything, plays 80 minutes because of Payne Haas is out.
Yeah.
But he's taking that to a new level.
And he also ball plays in second
phase. Like, he's getting the 25 touches, but he's passed about five or six times. But like, that's what a leader does.
Yeah.
That's what one of the best forwards does. Your other dude, Payne Haas, arguably one of the best props in the game. He's out. I'm your dude.
Yeah.
And they follow him.
That's how you take the next step to being an elite player.
Love
that's
it.
What Paddy's been now for the last couple of years. We mentioned it before, with all these players getting up, and there were reports a couple of weeks ago that Reece Walsh shut down. It's not official, but you'd like to imagine that Reece Walsh will get done at some point with the Brisbane Broncos. There's no way they're going to let him go. Therefore, I think there's a conversation around they're probably only going to be able to keep one or the other, Selwyn Cobbo or Katoni Staggs long term. After that performance from Cobbo and what you see with the X Factor, who's your preference between the two?
God, that is so hard. Far out. So if they come off the contract at the same time?
I don't think they're necessarily off contract at the same time, but I think – actually, I'll get it.
I thought Staggs only signed a couple of years ago.
No, he signed a while ago because he signed the big deal first.
Would honestly put my money into Cobbo.
Yeah.
Because he can play wing, center, and fullback.
Here we go. So we've got Cobbo is off at 2025 and Katoni Staggs is off 2025. Same year.
Because Cobbo can play every position. He's proven himself. He'll probably play left center.
More versatility.
He can play origin, left center, and wing. He can play fullback.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere. Where Staggs is right side center.
Yeah.
And really a really good right side center. Yeah. Most dominant probably right side center in the game. But – because Cobbo showed his versatility. He can just go, all right, you know what? Do you want to play left center? I can play that easy.
Mm.
You play left wing, right wing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for him. Yeah, he's just right a footballer, mate. Fullback. He can play anywhere. Doesn't faze him.
Depends on the contract and what you go to pay him. But I think I'm leaning towards Katoni just because of the consistency that I've seen
He's Australian center.
I feel like Selwyn can come in and get in and out of games and have real like brain explosion moments. And I think of like, I've already got enough talent in this Broncos team and there's some young guys coming through, so that's why I'd end up keeping
Katoni. How old is Cobbo?
I think sure there'd be about 2 or 3 years difference. It wouldn't be too far off.
Would that come into factor?
For sure.
Because I think Cobbo's way younger.
Let's have a look at it. So Katoni, where's Selwyn? There's Selwyn. Winger, date of birth, 5th of June. So he's 21.
I think Staggs 25. Fuck. I don't know. Staggs has probably got another. Let's just say if he comes off, he's 27 years old, right?
Yeah, it's
fucking. I'm not sure.
It's probably
Cobbo. And he's 23.
It's probably Cobbo.
And I'm like, you know what? That would come into, you know, negotiations. And go, all right, well, this kid, we can have six, seven years of his peak.
Yep.
Has Katoni in 2 years peaked already?
You know what I can envision straight away? Whoever doesn't sign with the Broncos, he's going to become
Redcliffe?
A rooster.
Oh, really? I thought Redcliffe. You know Queenslanders, man, they don't want to move too far, bro.
Yeah, true.
Hey, we'll just go, yeah, I'll just go play down the road.
What about down the road to Gold Coast?
All there.
Mm.
They don't, especially, I don't think you'll never get Cobbo in Sydney.
Yeah, Cobbo doesn't strike me as a Sydney guy, does he?
You might get Staggs.
You might get Staggs.
He's a New South Wales boy.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You're not getting Cobbo past that border.
There you go. Katoni Staggs, Sydney Roosters, next contract.
Done. It's pretty much done. Uncle Nick, bang.
Kicking off Super Saturday, the Warriors were at home and drew to the Seagulls. In extra time, went all the way. Both teams could find positives for sure in the one point, Mace. Manly blow that one.
Manly blew it, man.
And the SJ penalty, run me through that. What's your thoughts on it?
Which one was it? Run me through the SJ penalty.
So he goes for the field goal.
Oh, when the guy hit his leg.
And hits his leg.
It's the rule, right? You can't hit the kicker. Just don't fucking touch him. I get it. Are we waiting for him to break his leg like young Ilias?
For sure.
That's the thing.
Yep.
So I don't mind it
because
it's the rule.
Yeah.
Put kick pressure on. Don't fucking touch him. It's too dangerous. We don't want to injure any of our key players or anybody in that particular moment. Right? Put the pressure on. Don't touch his leg.
It's been quite divisive, this one. I seen Freddie and Joey were arguing about it on the footy show as well. Like Joey,
they were talking about that. Players used to come at their plant leg.
Yeah.
Our kick pressure was fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
You're putting all these – and that's why like Freddie be like, get away. But they wish they had that rule.
Yeah.
Blokes would be flogging Joey and Freddie off the ball all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing those things. Okay. I'm glad they're protecting the kickers. It's like NFL, you're protecting QBs. They're our star players. I don't want SJ to break his fucking leg.
That's a good point.
I didn't want JT or Joey, any of our key players getting fucking injured because of kick pressure.
So what do you tell Alawai in that instance?
You just pull out. You just gotta
kick it. As in, no, pull out a little bit earlier.
Well, you just don't touch him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. don't go near the front leg. You got to chase on an angle at trying to hit him like just his upper body. Just nowhere near the front leg. Just say he's kicking like that. Don't chase this way. Yeah. Like chase into his body.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. He went too far across
him. Yeah, don't go too far across. And it's fucking hard to judge.
When you're tired.
So hard to judge. So, but like if
79th
you're gonna,
minute,
if you're
front
put,
row.
You're going to have to put that pressure on, but it's going to have to be like you just have to watch your angles, man. Yeah. I just don't want players to get injured like that because we just saw it with Lachie Ilias. Kick pressure, bang, broken fibula, tibia, yeah. Out for the year.
Yeah, and that's that. And that, do you think that played a part in the decision as well? For sure, right?
Yep. Yeah, I just think it was sucked the way it went down.
I thought the most impressive part from the Warriors was when they got back into the game with the Jazz to Wagner try. I'm really big on body language and stuff these days. I think momentum, you can see, if you can really identify when there's going to be momentum swings. There's a calmness about this Warriors team now. It's
scary.
And although they were helped by the Luke Brooks intercept, which was stupid, and he's been good, Brooks, this year, but that was just one of those things where he's like, you're not at the Tigers anymore. Just, you know, like you've got talent, you don't have to force it. You're going into halftime. But, like, in particular around that try, I watched, like, Wade Egan, Sean Johnson, Chanzi all come in. Jazz Devonga was obviously pumped. He gets the try. But everyone else,
doesn't get many.
Everyone else around him was like, business as usual, next job sort of mentality. And that's the credit to the Warriors because they've got that at the moment.
It's scary because that old Warriors team would have beat by, it would have been 30 to 10.
Yeah.
You know, they had that momentum going and they just didn't get phased at all. Yeah. It's the leadership that they got through Tohu Harris and SJ. They look at those bodies like Tuivasa.
Yep.
They've got a real calmness about them, which is quite scary.
Because they're sitting there going, credit to Webby.
Yeah, who cares? We're 14-0 down or whatever. Like, who cares? We're going to come back, boys. Mm. We'll get it. We'll start getting the ball. We'll start completing. We'll start scoring.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think they believe in their system much. Webby has installed some sort of fucking superpower into them. And they fucking got away with that 22-all. I was shocked. I was just like, Manly should run away. They look on, Turbo looked on, DCE, their main guys.
Manly always play well against Warriors.
Yeah, man, we've got a good record. Yeah. We won over there in 2015. Yeah. We played in SJ's game where he'd done his tib fib.
That's right.
It was
too.
That's fucked him.
Yeah, that was sad. Yeah, that was sad. He struggled because then he did his Achilles a couple of years longer.
Yeah, I remember that was the turning point of like – you know, he was fucking like that and then it sort of plateaued him out. Now he's back there. He looks like – the game looks very slow to him now.
What about that try, mate? That's,
you know what I mean?
That's vintage.
Yeah, I just, you look at it and go, it's not that hard for him.
Yeah.
Because he's 33, he's thinking about like retiring.
But he probably could. In a minute.
No, I'm just saying, like, when he come through the system, right, he was just that pin-up boy, right? He was the dude. Mm. Good looking cat, can play, step, do everything.
Mm.
I'm like, who is this pretty boy looking motherfucker? Shit. And he'll step the shit out of you. He's cold.
Yeah.
Right? And he's pretty tough. He's got all these little things. And then like a few injuries happen, sort of brought him back down.
Yeah.
It was hard for him to get back up. So I'm happy for where he is right now. Because the mental fucking drain it would have had on him, right? He's a pin-up boy of New Zealand, man. Yeah. Moved to Cronulla, had to get all his shit back together. Then he went back going, do I still have it, right? They started downing him at Cronulla.
I think everyone did.
Everyone did. Everyone thought he was done.
Yeah.
I thought he was done 2 years ago,
so
honestly. After he had that, when he went to Cronulla first, why would the Warriors even like flick him? I thought he was a golden child there.
Mm.
And then they had that one decent year, then the next year really fell off.
Yeah, they had COVID year, remember? They were away from family. Yeah, that really affected
him. And I think
him.
That really affected the Warriors and affected him. I mean, when he was at Cronulla. Then he went back there and just like, bang. And then he fucking stole Dally M.
Mm.
Who would you put – I was just thinking that yesterday. Who would you put as the best seven for the Warriors ever? Is him or Stacey Jones? They're going to name their top in the last 30 years of Warriors.
Yep.
Who is halfback?
Stacey Jones 7, Sean Johnson 6.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's because of my age group and because
I don't know. Like, I'm putting Stacey at 7.
You're not?
I am.
Yeah.
But I don't know where. I'm not.
It's a tough conversation.
I'm going to put one of them on the bench because one of them's not a 6. They never played 6. Never, ever.
You can play Sean.
Oh, you can, but he never did.
Well, at the start,
he's probably played 10 games.
At the start of his career, he was more of a 6. Like, even though he wore the 7, because they had Jimmy Maloney, right, in the 6 at the start of his career. So Jimmy was always a 6. But you could argue, similar to the way it was when I was at Manly, where Kieran wore the six and Daly wore the seven, yeah. It was actually opposite.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Maloney was probably more of the organising half. And you know what Shawnee did? He played his best work off the cuff. Yeah. So if you put the little general, Stacey Jones, with Shawnee Johnson, you don't think he's going to thrive at six?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying because they're not – none of them's a six.
Yeah, because they've never played.
Yeah, they've never just genuinely like, that's a six.
Yeah.
You know, like Ricky Stewart.
What do you reckon, Wise fans?
Ricky Stewart and Daly.
Yeah.
You know, that's fucking seven and six. Yeah. Kevvy Walters and Alfie.
Yeah.
You know, that's a seven and six combo. There's never been seven and six.
Yeah.
So, Wise fans, tell us who you'd put.
And Wise fans. I got Wise out of you again.
Yeah, Wise fans, give it to me. Or Warriors fans, tell me.
Warriors fans, Wise fans. Is Mitch Barnett going to play Origin this year, Mace?
No, I mean it's all up for grabs, man. I think those positions.
Yep, I agree. I think it's definitely
it's a different, it's a whole different regime.
Fuck, he's been impressive.
And it's whatever Madge goes with.
He's been so good, Mitch Barnett.
Payne-Huss is obviously your number one guy.
Yep.
I think Stefano gets my other prop.
Yep.
I could put Mitch Barnett on the bench.
Yep.
Maybe he'd be my top 22. I'm not sure what I'm doing with the back row. I've got Cam Murray. I've got, I don't know, Isaiah Yeo, sort of. Olakuatu, yep.
Liam Martin,
Olakuatu, Cam Murray, Isaiah Yeo.
Yep.
One of them's on the bench. I think Yowie might be on the bench, I think.
Yep.
Because I think I'd rather him play as a middle.
I liked it better when he came off the bench last year and played more direct rather than so ball playing fit, from the start.
There's no Penrith players in Origin.
So then you get an out-and-out front rower on the bench and then a hybrid like Mitch Barnett?
Yeah, yes.
And then with your hooker like Wade Egan, like Picarasau, Reece Robson.
Looked good last night. Mm. Appy looks mad. He's doing a hell of a lot of work. We'll get to that game. Yeah. Fucking, I don't think he could do as much work for like another 2 or 3 years, man.
Yeah. I think Mitch Barnett is
– Who else would be going for his spot, but? Jacob Saifidi?
Regan Campbell-Gillard, Junior Gillard,
Paulo. So then you
– Hudson Young, Tyson Frizzell.
So he needs some cracking games, mate.
Yeah.
Fanua Blake doesn't want to play Origin,
no. No, he's done.
He can't.
He's done. Yeah.
So when you mention those names, right, the Junior Paulos and the Campbell Gillards and the Stefanos, if they're not like all locks, you know, they pretty much – no one's a lock, right, apart from Cleary.
Payne-Huss.
And Payne-Huss and Liam Martin.
Liam Martin would be a lock.
And fucking
Tommy Turbo.
Cam Murray, Turbo, Toto.
Toto. Teddy.
Teddy. Yeah, everything else up for grabs.
Yeah.
All
right, on to Manly, mate. DCE scored a couple early. The first one was –
You love those tries, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Opportunistic is the best way to put them, but that's just Chez being Chez and putting himself in the picture. We talked about the Brooks intercept. I thought that was critical.
Mm.
They really missed our boy, our body science dog of the week, Nathan Brown, bringing that punch off the bench, didn't they?
What happened to him?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, but –
They did. They honestly did.
Yeah.
Because I was just waiting. Was this an early scratching or what?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
a late scratching. Same as Flegler. I'm like, what the fuck happened to Flegler?
I found out about Flegler the night after because we filmed the potty at Thursday. I found out Thursday night he was out.
Yeah.
And then I found out about Nathan Brown on Friday the day before because he didn't travel. I don't think he traveled.
Right.
I don't think he traveled.
They did miss his energy.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Because like he's been. When they went through that lull and you get guys like Jazz Tavanga who come on for a little stint before he got injured and those guys really fucking the second phase of the Warriors was the difference.
I think Paseka, he come out of the blocks.
Yep.
Obviously not – he copped a little bit of criticism for his last game, not touching the ball for 15 minutes. I think he had like 8 hit-ups in the first 10, so he was trying to make up for that. He's – Nathan Brown's energy off the bench is infectious, right? It's like when Jazz Tavanga and all those blokes come off. Yep. I mean, come on, they really – energize the whole Warriors team.
It shows how important the bench rotation is now in this modern day game, isn't it?
You need, one dude who's a starter.
That's why we're about to talk to Parramatta in the next one. Let's get straight into it. Yeah. Parramatta defeat the Cowboys 27-20. And the King was outstanding, but I like what Brad did. He went back to his original bench rotation. Junior Paulo and Ryan Madison come back on the bench because
Paulo change again.
Joe Offa and Galway starts. He was doing a good job of weathering the storm. And then you got that second phase that comes on with Bryce Cartwright being back. You're allowed to have Maddo come off the bench as well.
That's what they missed. Bryce Cartwright was great.
Yep.
But it puts Madison back on the bench and he comes on with a little bit more time. Paulo was ridiculous. Mm. He looks fitter and stronger than he's ever been in the last couple of years.
He looks like he really enjoys that role.
Dangerous, man. The footwork, when he's on that left side, and he can't hit him because his left arm carry spins out. There's an offload there, both sides. It's crazy.
Well, you know what he is? He's coming on against benchies. Like, he's a starter.
Yeah.
He's a starter every day of the week. But what he is, what that rotation allows him to do is come on against the opposition's third and fourth best front rowers.
And even if your middles are – stayers, right? They've played over 30, 35 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
You're still fatigued.
When that big
bass is coming off the back fence with footwork spinning and that, and you've already tried to handle offering our way and big Reg coming at you, it's a great rotation. And then Maddo comes on. He doesn't have to start games.
Yeah.
Just a couple of offloads here and there and just some tough runs and just defend.
The second phase, Jermaine Hopgood plays
Jermaine
more of
Hopgood was good. He tried to offering our way. That's a great line, that.
Yeah.
Very underrated. If you've got a good ball player, like, you can throw those face balls.
That was nice for a middle, mate. A face mate, ball across the...
He's got a skill set, man.
Yeah.
He'll be playing Origin this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Him and Ruben Cotter are very similar players.
Yeah,
he's
a
Queenslander, isn't he?
He's a Queenslander. Mm. He was 18th man last year. And they've got so many troops that are out. Like, they're dropping like flies, that Queensland forward pack.
What a shame.
Colin Harris... Colin Hurst, Tom Gilbert, Tino. There are so many middles that are getting ruled out. Horsbrough.
The bra's out.
He's got that hip flexor remember last week, so he's missing time.
He wouldn't
in
have
the
been
Raiders.
A lock in there anyway, but
he would have been close. Been
if he had started, he needs to start the year to get in Origin.
Dejan Arce, so he provided Dylan Brown more freedom to do what he'd done best, which I thought was great, but also showing a bit of class at the end to ice the kick it.
Dill Brown looked good.
My question now is, and I assume that he should have been the player as soon as Mitch Moses went down, why didn't Brad use him earlier? And therefore, you know, Blaise Salangi, who looked really good in that Manly game, maybe he doesn't get dropped all completely out of the team because he's playing centers.
Morgan Harper played so well that you can't drop him.
Yeah.
He was outstanding. It's probably his best game he's played for ages. So I'm happy for him. Because that means it's going to be unchanged for this week.
Yeah.
But maybe he wasn't playing that good at the Dejan Arce.
At New South Wales Cup?
Yeah.
That could be it.
He hasn't proven himself in the NRL yet. Here and there, like glimpses and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But you need to be consistent. You need to be like, if you're not playing first grade, you carve the fuck out of reserve grade.
Yeah.
And prove to everyone that you are a first grader.
Or a training too. You don't know
everything.
What's,
everything.
Training. Yeah.
The coaches put so much emphasis on how the young guys train. You need to go at it all the time. And if you have one or two off sessions, you're not pushing for a spot.
Yeah.
And then Blaise Salangi plays better at 5'8 or center or something. They're going to pick him.
Yeah. And he's got younger. They're probably going to invest more in him long term. So Brad would have probably wanted to see if he can be an option long term.
And I think
Dejan
Arce's had a fair – I don't think he's played a shitload of games, but he's had a few cracks, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He played at the Warriors to begin with. Then he went to the Cowboys for a season. Yeah. And now he's at Parramatta in his third stint. So
yeah, so it's like people have given
him
opportunity,
like a journeyman backup,
right? And how old is he?
He would be about 24, 25.
Still young, man.
Yeah.
Very hard. They're very harsh. If he was a front row, I'd be a bit more harsher on him in the middle because you should be like getting your shit together. But when you're a half, it takes a minute, man. It takes a minute. He's got all the skills to be a good player, man, but he's needs to be consistent. Even if you just say if he didn't ice that kick, would he have had a good game?
Yeah, he was pretty good. I thought he was
saying,
good.
Like, would you thought –
It's a hard one for him because you're not going to be Mitch Moses, but you've got to come in and just make sure Dill Brown plays his best footy. And I thought he really opened it up for Dill. Dill was able to run the ball again.
Yeah, I like that.
Whereas like the week before with Blaise, Dill was trying to be the organiser too much and it took away from his strength. Yeah. So I think that was the biggest positive.
Dill Brown's a gun.
He's a weapon. So Dejan Arce's only 23,
sharp,
mate.
Sharp that right footies.
Dejan Arce's only 23. Yeah, so
he's
still
a baby,
time.
Mate. There's a lot of time for him.
Yeah. There's a player in Dejan Arce, that's for sure anyway. We talked about Brycey before. What about the physicality that he's got in his game? Now, he fucked up on the Tommy Dearden high tackle and it was sort of like a very lazy, silly Sam Hughes type elbow where it didn't quite get him, but it was dumb.
Is he going to get suspended for that?
I don't know. But I love the intent, as in the intent for the physicality that Bryce now has.
You know, like, I love like guys running in. What are you doing? What are you running in for? Yeah. Like to grab a guy by the jersey and say, don't do that again. You know what I mean?
Back
like
in your day, you used to be able to throw.
I know, but I'm
why.
Like, do you see Jaden Suica running in on Stefano?
Yeah.
And big Stefano just puts his double bang and put him on his ass.
It was the best stiff arm
on
the weekend.
Stiff arm. It was fucking hilarious. I'm just like, I know that. Just say when we're playing, like you could actually fight. And I'm like, fight could not. When they brought that rule in, I'm not running in anywhere.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Like you're coming in third man and you're going to like, no one can fight now. Just like whatever happens, just fucking let it go. It's not, nothing's going to come through with it. Mm. Everyone's coming out and pushing and all that sort of stuff. It's a bit different when you get punched in the fucking head.
Yeah.
You're not coming in with that energy.
Some are.
Townsend is not coming in with that energy to a back rower 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're getting punched straight in the fucking head.
Yeah.
There's no fear factor. You get running in. Oh, stop it. Oh, whatever, mate. Get away.
There seems to be no fear factor with the Cowboys around the errors that they continually keep making.
What was their completion rate? Don't say it was in the 60s again.
Yeah, let me have a look, mate. Let me get that up, actually. It wouldn't have been great. But it's more like the pressure it puts on them defensively and the penalties and that as well. I'm getting it up here.
Yeah, they don't. It's not really
What did they get this time? Just 72.
See? And you'd be still filthy.
It's mate, you can't be under 75 this day and age.
Nah. They're too good a side.
Let's go. Let's have a look. I'm going all the way down. Kicking. Defense. So that 89%. They missed 33 tackles. Oh, no. So they missed 39 tackles. Errors 11. Penalties conceded 8. Ruck infringements 2. So pretty similar across the board.
If they fix those things up a little bit, and the great thing is it's round 6, yeah. Right?
But this has been happening 7. Now for 12 months.
I know, but they've lost 1 game.
And 6 games.
They've lost 1 game. This will be second game. Yeah. So they're 4-2.
Yeah.
They're looking all right.
Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, on the ladder, they're okay.
Like they look, but if they're doing video this week, they're going, fuck, we just need to just sort our discipline out, miss tackles below probably 25 or something like that.
Mm.
Completion rates at 80, all the penalties, you know, 10, whatever, and then we will win every single game.
They were
still in the game here. They should have beaten the Eels.
That's the problem because they've been in every game. So even the games that they lost, apart from who do they get blown out by? The Broncos, right? The Broncos, and that was awful. But that, you know, that was like 62%. But the problem is the Titans, the Knights game in particular, like they're a way better team than, in my opinion, they're better than the Parramatta Eels on paper.
Mm.
But credit to Parramatta Eels, they played just a little bit better to get the job done. But there were moments through that game where you're like, looks like they could roll the Eels at any point.
And put 30 quick.
They just
on
got
it.
Zero patience, mate. Zero patience. And
who
that's
do you put
why
that down to? And what do you mean zero patience? They're not building pressure?
Building pressure.
And they're just trying to shoot straight away and go bang, bang, try.
It's not too far off. I put it down to Chad Townsend and Tom Dearden and Drinkwater.
It has to be.
They're key players. And they're not necessarily the guys that are always making the mistakes. Sometimes it's Val, sometimes it's Murray Talangi, sometimes it's Jeremiah Nanai, the outside backs. But those three guys have to be able to take it out of their hands. Yeah. You know, like sometimes just get to an early kick because they've got so much skill and they can score basically on every play and they're fit and they just keep going. But they're doing too much to fucking tackling.
Yeah, the middles are.
Yeah.
And it starts tiring him out.
Like you look at Ruben Cotter, just looks like he's running around.
Did you see his head yesterday? Yeah. Double black eyes. You know what I mean? It's just like Tal Malolo, McLean. Griffith Neem's been impressive.
Yeah, I like
I think
Griff
he's
Neem.
Been outstanding coming off the bench. Tal Malolo's couple of stints was – I think he could play more minutes, man.
Who, Tal Malolo?
Yeah, I reckon he could. I know he's under game like restricted minutes, but like he looks fucking – he looks all right when he's out there.
His movement carrying the ball just doesn't – it's not, like
it's
I said
not
it
going
before.
To be like the Tal Malolo of fucking 8 years ago, bro. But, I mean, he can go out there and still be dominant. His runs were like – some of his runs were like 8 to 10, 12 metres easily.
Mm.
And that's just him off the 9.
Yeah.
Like surely he can give you more – or that second stint can be a little bit more because that first stint is 20 minutes. That's fine. Fine. Yeah. Set the standards, and he did set the standards, him and McLean and Cotter, and then put the big Griffith Neem on. He fucking starts making some good yards. And I'm like, he can easily get that – middle part, just say like the 10 minutes after half time, right?
Yeah.
To about 10 minutes to go.
These are the players.
You're putting him on like 12 minutes to go. The fucking game could be over.
Yeah, Jace Tomalolo, these are the sorts of guys. Like at his age, him and Jordan McLean, they don't want to be doing extra tackling.
That's
what's fucking him. Like these guys, they're outside backs and fucking halves are turning the ball over so much that Jace has like been a great servant of this club for so long. When he has to defend all the time, when you can let him off the back fence, he can still do some damage, but he's tackling too much.
Too much. Way too much.
And Scott Drinkwater, the try was class, that last try that they scored. Mm. He does the point up into his family, 100 games. I didn't like that too, by the way.
I hated it.
But my biggest thing with Drinky, I love him as a player and he could be an Origin player. Same as Tyrone Slade, he whiffed on that Joe Offengawa try again.
Get your body in front, son.
That's – he's missing that last piece, and I did it before with the Elliott try at the start of the year. Yeah. I was pushing for Scott Drinkwater to be that next Origin guy, but until he takes care of that, and the same as Tyrell Sloan, who was good yesterday again, but it's a week to week thing defensively.
Mm.
In this day and age of a fullback, if you don't make those plays or at least put your body in front, then you're not going to be considered a top tier.
Well said. Because his attack is there, but I mean, like,
his attack is the best New South Wales attacking fullback in the competition.
Yeah, but look at our fullbacks; it's crazy.
All right, the Saturday 7:30 game. There was so much pressure and so much chat around this game. The Sharks 34 defeat the South Sydney Rabbitohs 22. The Rabbitohs show some fight in this one, Mace, but. Have they done enough to save JD through to the bye and then into the Panthers in Melbourne coming up next?
Apparently. Well, he's not sacked.
And it's not yet, day. Anyway.
I'm not sure. I heard there's a lot of rumblings around, you know, they say he had till this game and now they put up a fight, but you still get beat. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you want to see? Did you want to see the W or the L? Like, is it about putting effort in? Because, like... They do put effort in. They've just been beaten.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't played that well. Everyone puts effort in. He's just been beaten by some better teams.
It's probably the worst result for the higher-ups and people making decisions.
Yeah, because it looked like they had a crack. You fucking expect him to have a crack. That's what you need to do when you put that jersey on.
Yeah.
And don't give any – like if you're going to make decisions like this, stick to it.
Yes.
Now you're going to give him a couple more games. And I'm not trying to say get rid of him.
Yeah.
But don't say some shit out there and then renege on it. Players would be thinking, oh, what the fuck's going on here? Don't think there's 10 or 12 players sitting at the Rabbitohs going, fuck, I hope he's gone. Don't think for a second there's not about 10 or 12 players in that Rabbits top 30 of going, course. Fucking hell, he's still here.
Yeah, yeah. That always happens.
And they're probably 10 or 12 starters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like when there's smoke, there's fire, and I've heard enough shit and I'm just like, wow. Okay, well, you're going to give him another week and then another week. You'll probably see the year out.
So
and
what,
who knows?
Sorry, mate.
They might fucking come good.
Yeah.
Luttrell comes back and he kills it. Mm. Cody starts playing better football. Jack starts playing. Cody was good. Everybody starts building off this fucking effort game.
Mm.
I hope they do.
You know what people don't realise is that obviously the coach was under the pump and people talk about the reaction from the players for the coach. But I've been in the situation before as well where people forget you're proud as players as well.
Do you honestly think people like South supporters and everyone out there that this game was for JD?
Some might have.
Fuck no, it's
some
not.
Some might have.
Yeah, well,
some
let me tell you now, it's not.
Yeah, some might have.
But
he doesn't necessarily. Yeah, because we know some.
Exactly.
We've got relationships, but not every player is. I would say is totally against him. I know,
but there's not one player that went out there going, I've got to fucking play my best football for JD. Sorry. That's my point.
Sorry, correct.
There's not one player there. It's like, we have fucking pride in ourselves and we want to go out there and win every fucking game.
You represent your family every time you're out there.
Your family and everything like that, not just your coach. Yeah. No one gives a shit about the coach. You're playing for those fucking 17 other players that are out there going to war with you, not the coach.
Okay, I understand
that.
Yeah, sweet.
Hey, I fucking play for Wayne Bennett and everything. There's not one fucking thought process in my mind go, I'm playing for Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm playing for, you know, Steve Folks. Like, no, I'm playing for the players that I go out there with. We have pride in ourselves and our jersey and the club.
Throughout the
our
week.
Our families, not the fucking coach.
Throughout the week, they can implement stuff to make you put yourself in the best position. Once you're out there, it's you.
You cross that white line, mate. It's all about the 13 blokes out there with you and your family, and that's it.
And they stepped up for each other. I thought, like you said, Cody was really good. I thought Tom Burgess was outstanding.
Tom Burgess, he was that dude.
What about the Sharks, mate?
Mulatala, again, I can't get over him.
Well, he's a weapon.
He's just fucking. He holds the same energy as Jordan Rapana has.
That's a good shout.
Yeah,
that's a great shout.
He fucking got that. Like they go off his energy, man.
Yeah, and when he is making a few errors or fucking up and starts to lose his confidence, Sharks
they
always
shoot
lose
down. Yeah. Yeah, when he's up catching balls, everyone's flowing around.
That's a great comp.
And I was just like, wow, he's got the same energy as Geordie.
Mm.
And some of the shit that he was – that ball that he caught and flicked Teague Wilton was just standing there. How he got that away, please rewind. That's probably one of the best plays you'll ever see in rugby league.
Yeah,
it's just very underrated because he makes shit look easy.
Mm. Been going nice to play the left ground, edge
just
back
flicking
row.
It like, oh, wow. He's been playing good too, Teague Wilton.
Yeah,
but Mulatala, outstanding. Katoa, outstanding. The fullback, outstanding.
Yep.
Kennedy has been – he's been some big plays.
There you go. So Will Kennedy, right? That's a perfect example from the last conversation with Drinkwater and Sloan. And I always forget about this with Sloan. Will Kennedy is not The biggest dude.
No, he's not big.
He is not.
Similar build to Sloan.
Similar build to Sloan. You never ever see Will Kennedy. I never question his defense ever. And he's not like a great defender, as in the sense like he doesn't go out there and bash anyone.
No.
But he's just rock solid. Always puts his body in front and always makes the defense make the extra pass.
Yeah, and he's always there underneath Nelly saving the try.
Yes.
Yep. Like he's underneath you. Like he's not getting palmed off.
He's a bit of a snake defender. Like you know how like you sort of he's really good at taking. He doesn't really like hit with contact. He absorbs really well, and then he's able to like.
Are you talking like Snake, the great Brett Stewart, or a snake?
No, it's like as in a snake, like the animal.
Bowl constrict
the
snake.
Like a snake where you're like, someone comes into you, and then the more you try to get out, the more he squeezes you. Like he does a really
snake,
good job.
Snake, like Brett Stewart was a really good defender.
Yeah, he was.
Because he wasn't big either.
Yeah.
But he was like, I remember one time he held me up fucking twice in one game. Twice.
Yeah.
Fucking snake, twice. This is when I was throwing fullbacks over the fucking fence.
Yeah.
So snake. Prick just he'd get on you and he just wouldn't. So he grabbed the ball and he'd just fucking just go like, and he just wouldn't get over him. Yeah, fucking hell. Will Kennedy, I rate him. He puts, so when he's attacking like that, that really starts their sets off. Because Jesse Ramian's a fucking animal too. Yeah. They've got a good back five. They always have. But it goes off Kennedy.
Nine players, again, ran for 100. They're another team. They're very similar to the – I think it was the Canberra Raiders the week before or another team. There were about seven or eight players ran for 100.
Mm.
They play very good complementary footy.
Yeah.
So the outside backs normally get in and they take a lot of the early carries and get heaps of meters. And then you get McInnes and Brayley and Finucane and just making 30, 40 tackles per game. And then once they get to the opportunity, like – Nico and Trindle are doing a good job.
Well balanced, at
like
man.
Putting kicking to corner. Trindle's been really impressive. He's been really good. I like him. He's a perfect Robin for Nico's Batman.
Cam McInnes has been good.
Yeah, Cam McInnes is good.
He runs those.
He's a skipper.
Runs those really good lines behind the ruck. Gets quick play of the balls. He really ignites their sets as well.
He's like Cheese when Cheese moved to lock because they played hooker. They know how to identify
he's
behind
a chance
the markers.
For Origin as well.
He'd be thereabouts.
He wouldn't look out of place, trust me.
He'd be a type of player that Queensland would pick in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Years ago.
Yeah. What else with – so, yeah, got to give credit to the Souths. 80% they completed at. What do you think of Jai Gray? He looked good. I love the way he took the game on. Like they tried to –
He's quick.
He's another Rennie Matua 6'1". I think he'd be about 5'5", 5'6".
He's tiny, but he's they makes up for that with a bit of gusto, man.
Yeah, he had a crack,
he ran hard.
Yep.
That's all you want from your middles. All you want to see is your fullback taking it on.
Yeah.
He's not a big body, but he's not skinny or anything like that. He'll put
you he's stocky,
he's stocky, man.
Yeah.
Got good footwork. Didn't see that much of him around the back. There wasn't that many plays for him.
They didn't have a shitload
of
good
really ball opportunities. Had that shape. They didn't have that much shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that left edge. Jack White was good. Cody was really good towards the end. Cody just needs to really take that team.
Yeah.
And they go off his energy.
He's showing signs. He's been attempting to get him going, but for long periods, they're just always on the back foot.
Yeah, and it's hard. And like people, they're critical of players like Latrell and Cody and first guys to point the finger at because they're the biggest personalities and they're probably on the highest money.
Yeah.
But fuck, they need to go forward.
Mm.
Those players cannot do anything without forwards going forward.
When Tommy come on his second stint in particular and just really got him going forward, like he started the game well, but then once Tom goes off, they just completely lose it.
Yeah, you've got to rattle the middle. You've got to have bodies flying everywhere. There's got to be tips. And once Cam Murray went off, that all went away. But lucky Tom
Totola,
come on.
Totola
went off. So that's a big injury. So that's what coincides with their effort, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you are down to 14 or 15 players, you've got to put effort in.
Yeah.
You've got to play those extra big minutes. You know, and that's what they did. They're first graders.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. Dragons were good on Sunday, mate. The Dragons defeat the Tigers 24-12 at a packed Campbelltown Stadium, which was good to see. There was a lot of heat in this game as well, but the Dragons always sort of looked in control to me, and we talked about Ronaldo Mulitalo before. We talked about wingers in the game. Zach Lomax doesn't like playing wing, but fuck, he's good on the wing.
We said this last week. What is he going to do if they pick him on the wing for Origin? Which I think is a massive chance.
I reckon he's
imagine
a massive
him
chance
and Tyo.
Too. Yeah. I think they'll be the two wingers.
Who else will be going for it?
Fox. Who else was the other one? Daniel Tupou's played on the wing before.
Yeah, but it was Fox and
Suali'i is a chance. Yeah. And then
it was Fox and Tyo last year.
Or if they ended up going with a fully fit Latrell and Tommy Turbo on the centres, then maybe Critter on the wing as well is an option.
Well, he's definitely going to be up there.
Yeah, he's going to be thereabouts, isn't he?
He just looks dangerous. Everything he does, he just attacks everything. He's got mad skill. Defensively, was really good. The attack from Tigers was fucking awful, wasn't it?
I love what Benji said. He said that was their worst performance of the year, not because of the scoreline or just they didn't want to get involved in the tough stuff.
Yeah, it was very weird. Like, I'm like, why would – like, it just really looked pedestrian, right? Mm. I don't know. Caesar, he's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Like, I just – you need some – I need a little bit more from the seven there.
Yeah, and you've got Lachie Galvin. Benji said Lachie Galvin will be straight back in next week as well, so he'll straighten him. He takes the line on for
it's
a young
Sullivan
kid.
Six.
Yeah.
You know, they don't complement each other that well.
He was trying hard. You could tell the game meant a lot to him. He's going against his ex-team, and he was – even Benji said he tried a little bit too hard. He made a few errors. They target him too. Yeah. The Dragons team were going after him. They were trying to – they target him in the trials. They try to get in him again. But I just think it just shows the influence or the impact that Lachlan Galvin's already had on this team. Like, it's
Galvin
almost –
Galvin and Caesar look good because it takes a little bit of pressure off Caesar as well. Caesar hasn't got those legs like he did 10 years ago, right?
No.
Good kicking game. You know, he needs to nail those kicks, man.
Back to Zach Lomax, just before we move off. Apparently, it's close to being done. The Eels, 2.6 over 4 years. So that value is 650K. If he goes to Parramatta Eels on 650, good contract, bad contract.
Good contract for Para.
For Para. You like 650? Yeah,
650 if you're going to get him like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I think that's good value.
That's wingers money.
Yeah, that's good value.
How are we looking at him? Imagine if he goes and they play him wing.
No, that's not going to happen.
Who knows? Yeah. I'm just saying. Imagine if he goes, you're going to play wing outside Pennacini.
even Flano had a shot after the game. He had a bit of a smirk. Someone asked him a question. He goes, looked pretty good on the wing, didn't he? And then couldn't help himself and started laughing.
That's what I'm thinking. It must be deeper than just playing wing.
Yeah.
It's got to be. I think he just needs a fresh start.
Yeah.
Fresh start. So do you reckon St. George is impressive?
If they play like that, week in, if they roll their sleeves up, they're going to be a pain in the ass week in, week out. Mm. But they're still missing a shitload.
Something.
Yeah.
Jaden Sewell's good.
They've got a good forward pack, mate. On paper.
A bunch of animals, man.
Ame Selle and Frankie Molo started this game. Then you bring Mudders Laurie and Jack DeBellin off the bench.
Yeah. Good balance.
They've got a couple of like that. Tom Eisenhuth, he's okay.
Good,
he's solid.
A lot of work.
Yeah. Raymond.
Molo's good.
Raymond's been good.
New listeners,
Mudders? Oh, yeah. I've seen one person ask that. One asked boss what Mudders is. Figure it out.
I didn't mind St. George.
Yeah.
Like when they play real physical, I think they're going to beat sides that are like going to be like the bottom eight. The bottom eight they should really deal with because they're tough and they're physical.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever they get up to a Penrith or a Brisbane.
They're going
to
be
tested. You're not really going to. Yeah, because then it becomes skillful, right?
Yeah, you're not going to out physical the
team. Because they're going to pick at Sloan.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try and tire out Suli and Ravalawa, and they're going to try and do that kind of stuff.
Good
that's what Penrith's going to do, right? They're going to turn you around, come off your back fence, see how good you're going. Then just keep testing Sloan.
The Tigers can't expose their
weaknesses. No, and they're not going to do that because, their forwards were all right. I didn't mind Clem. Clem nearly lost his shit.
He should have got 10 twice.
Twice. The second one was worse, right?
Yeah, the second one was worse.
He just went, you know what? Fuck you, Lomax, and then just slid down to his legs.
And then popped him as well.
I love Clem. He's old school, mate. He debuted in 2010 when you could fight.
Yeah.
So he's still got that in him. He's been suppressed. That dog's been suppressed.
Yeah.
I need that back out.
Well, he should have been suppressed in the sin bin.
Yeah, he should have fucking twice in the sin bin. I didn't mind it, but that second one was just blatant. I don't like you, Lomax.
Yeah.
I'm front row, you're a winger. That was straight in the mouth and then slid down.
And then,
and then punched him in the head.
And then Lomax says, whoa, and he goes, bang.
Yeah, shut up. So, he's lucky. I think you'll probably see himself on the sideline.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to get – I reckon he'll get suspended twice for two different incidents. Shout out to Kyle Flanagan as well. He got licked by Clemmer. A lot of players would have stood down, and he even got up and looked and said 10 in the bin. Rather than laying down, if he had stayed down, Clemmer would have got 10
nearly
in the bin
got
minimum.
Sent.
Maybe sent.
Yeah. I reckon his shoulder hit Clemmer in the head. It just looked really awkward. Have a look at it. His left shoulder hit Clemmer, but it was just because Clemmer's so big and he monstered him.
Yeah.
And just, it was just a big man on a small man.
Flanagan should have got sent off.
Flanagan should have copped it. Flanagan, you should have got 10. Clem should have gotten an award. He should have got VB hard-earned fucking man of the match.
Did you like seeing that from Flanagan? Getting straight up.
I love Flanagan. He's no one ever tested it. No one ever questioned his toughness. He's a tough little kid, man. It's good to see him happy over there and playing some good football.
Yeah, same. It would have been a lot of pressure going there with his old man being a coach and shit like that. So
no,
he's a tough little bugger.
I love that. Yeah. I love that shit, how he just got up, went, fuck it, play on.
Yeah, I wish more players would do it. The problem with the hip drop tackle right now in this day and age is whenever anyone slips in and around the legs, people were grabbing their ankles, and he had an opportunity to stay down and get himself not only a penalty, which they got, he would have got Clemmer sent off for 10 minimum if he'd stayed down. Yeah. And if he'd gone off for a HIA, Clem could have got sent off. I guarantee you. That's the way they think, and it's
wonder if he'll be on the sidelines anyway.
Who, Clem? Yeah, he's done. He's getting a couple of weeks. Yeah. The last game, mate, it was a cracker. The Raiders were doing it comfortably, but they hang on. Jamal Fogarty, field goal right at the death. The Raiders win 21-20. Shout out to Fogarty.
Yeah.
When Fogarty first went there and left Gold Coast Titans, I was one of those guys. I was thinking, yeah, nice buy. Like, people were going and crazy at the Titans for letting him go. But he looks like now the sort of buy that Chad Townsend was.
He's a genuine good halfback, man.
Like Chad Townsend was at changing the culture and what when he first went to the Cowboys, establishing some calmness around the role. Yeah. Because he's not the most talented player, but fuck, his kicking game has improved.
Do you think he's got the best kicking game in the comp?
Yeah.
Him and Cleary. Because obviously you can't watch Cleary for the last sort of month. True. But at the moment, I reckon his is the number one kicking game in the comp.
I would say in 2024. He has kicked the best out of any
when they're player. Winning, when they're winning the field position, he will put you on your 10-meter line in a massive cage kick.
Mm.
He's so accurate. He's kicking 50 meters away or 40 meters away. It's ridiculous what he's doing. In his defense is great as well.
Good, really good.
See the size of him?
Yeah,
he's got legs and that was one game that I didn't want to see fucking extra time, and I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
Feel sorry for those.
Ended.
Boys. His kicking game in extra time was the difference.
Yeah.
Field position. Because Fozzie doesn't have a big kick.
No, his little pop gun.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a big drop kick either.
Is there a drop kick? Fozzie.
Then
there was no other option.
Yeah, Jaden Campbell went off. I'd guarantee Jaden Campbell would have been the guy. AJ Brimson doesn't strike me as he's an erratic player as it is, so I don't think he would have the grouse's kicking game as well. They really lacked in that, and that was the difference, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a year like that for the Titans.
Yeah.
Poor buggers are going to try their asses off. They're going to get to games like that where it's going to be extra time and then bang.
Desi was furious after the game with the six agains that the Canberra Raiders got. Ricky then followed him after and had a crack back at Desi in the post-match.
Lovely. Go on, tell me.
Yeah, so basically.
So you waited till the fucking depressor as well.
I always watch the depressor. Well,
you're the best.
Yeah, but I, even though I watch them all the time, it doesn't, like, I don't really have to talk about it.
That's just a tough carry to watch that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Desi was furious with it was a 10-1 six against.
Oh shit. So we should be angry.
But Ricky wasn't gonna say anything, and then once someone brought it up to Ricky, Ricky said I'll get the exact quote.
Give me the quote.
That's it. And he just goes around in circles about that.
All right, yeah. Point. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what's happening. Obviously, because you can't have hands on the ball. That's very specific rules now. It's not like it was, as Ricky's going. It's not like it was in the last 5 years or we'll just say 10 years ago, hands on the ball, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Get that shit out of there. Otherwise, it's going to be six to go.
Yeah, Titans were making it as messy as possible.
I'm on Ricky's side.
Yeah. I think you can find it both ways. Desi was critical that it was so lopsided. He also said that there were a couple that we could have, but they went into that game where they were trying to make it slow and messy, and they were trying to frustrate the Raiders.
Where's Whitey from?
Yeah, he gave credit to Whitey, and then he got the shit.
He'd be having a crack with Whitey.
And then the journo,
Whitey left Canberra.
No. He was complimentary of him.
No, I'm just joking, because Whitey was his assistant for years.
That's a boy. Yeah. No, he's close. And then the journo went, oh, Desi said this, and he goes, I just said he fucking coached good. He got the shits. You couldn't see him get the shits.
Oh, I love you, Rick.
What else did I like about that game? I like the rookie. I like Chevy Stewart.
Yeah.
He returned the ball quickly.
Well, who blocked the field goal?
Charge down. Yeah.
Yeah. So him. Who got the mad play to get him the win? The fucking other 18-year-old.
The two roomies.
Oh, what a great – that's what you want from your young kids like that. Mm. He got him a second chance, and then you throw the ball to the young kid Strange, makes a massive break just to seal the deal.
Mm.
Fucking love it.
Ricky has a couple of good youngsters. He's got Xavier Savage, Strange, Chevy Stewart looks all right.
We're under 21.
Schiller looks fucking good.
21's their average age if you take Fogarty out.
Wow.
21.
Is it?
Another thing.
In the back line?
Yeah, in the back line. When we were talking about front rows the other day, we forgot about Tabane and Bin Papali'i.
Yeah.
They're the best two combinations. They're a top three combination.
Yeah.
Easily. Big Papa looked sharp last night.
Yeah, Puffs.
Looks like he's lost a little bit.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
He looks good.
Puffs has looked good. The one game where they struggled was – there was one game where they were a little bit off the pace, but apart from that –
you know what? I think Bill's called him and said, do you want to come back? Lose a couple.
Okay, I like
maybe.
That.
Maybe. Looks sharp, man. Looks like he's fucking –
he'll be required this year.
Yeah, and he will be because you need that experience.
Yep.
And he's that he kills origins.
Yeah,
he's an animal.
Tarpany's a weapon, eh?
Tarpany's a.
I love Morgan
Hudson
Smithies.
Young. Hudson Young.
They've got Smithies. Some nice pieces some down in Canberra. In
yeah,
they've got you're some all right, man. Nice. Huddy Young,
he loves it.
Zach Hoskins was a bit banged up last night.
I think he's going to be. Oh, I don't want to put the mic in, but like he's got that sort of build where he's going to get pumped.
He's a bit unco, eh?
Yeah,
yeah.
He's fucking head clashes and he gets hit shoulders and
he
like
competes on everything.
Yeah, because he competes very hard and he plays well above his body weight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be more than 100 kilo, man. 105 kilo.
No, no.
And he's couldn't take 110. You know, he's rangy. I don't know. But I rate him. He was our best player before he got knocked out.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. He was having a crack at it. Fuck yeah. I like that Schiller. They got some nice pieces.
I like Schiller. He's been
I like Chris.
6'3".
I love Timacore.
They're all right.
Some fucking players, eh?
They're all right. And then you put Geordie back there. Put Rubber back there.
And Raps is not even playing.
Yeah.
So.
But the young kid.
Oh, yeah, sure, we'll go straight out. But fuck yeah, he didn't look too bad.
Chevy was all right.
Geordie Rapp ain't going to
play. I love the way
forever.
He fucking ran, man. Like, that's all you want. Just take it on. 18-year-old kid could have got his head taken off in that
he
first
took
hit
some leaks. He took some leaks. Yeah, they were going
at least like 10 or 12, he just got the ball and ran straight back at him. And it wasn't like he was running at small bodies. He was running in between like a Jola for a Haas, you know what I mean? Like they're big guys. That's their biggest guys.
What about the Titans, just before we move off them quickly? Brimo to 6, did you like that? More on ball? It got him into the game more, didn't it? And he looked even better when he went back to fullback when Jaden Campbell went off.
He's a fullback, man. He's been an out-and-out fullback for his whole career because he's so erratic in what he does, but he knows what he's doing at fullback because he can choose both sides of the field and attack wherever the hell he wants. I know Jaden Campbell's a fullback as well. It's like it's a fucking predicament up there.
They need
shitty
to.
Shitty predicament.
Yeah, I know.
They need to make a call there.
They need to make a call and maybe potentially look for a half.
Yeah.
But how do you play those two guys together?
Who do you pick? I mean, obviously picking Jaden Campbell as their fullback. Brimson's just a player. He just loves playing football.
Well, now we're going to see Brimo at fullback. It looks like Jaden Campbell did his knee in that game, so we're going to see more of Brimo at fullback anyway and then potentially bring back in Tanner Boyd or that Tom Weaver kid. Let's have a look at this Tom Weaver
kid. Their effort was good.
It was really good.
Everyone was having a crack. You know, they're having a crack on their line. I mean, something like 50 play the balls in their 20 and they were struggling to score. So there's probably some really good signs there if you're looking at the video, if you're the Gold Coast, but at the end of the day, you're fucking lost.
What about Dave Fafita, mate? He still hasn't exercised that clause yet. Where do you reckon David Fafita is playing next year? Is he a Titan or not a Titan?
It'd be hard. If he wants to win a comp.
He ain't going to be a Titans.
And I mean, he's probably really good friends with Tino. Tino's already won a comp. He's won Origins, he's won World Cups, all that sort of stuff. You want to win all that stuff before you know.
Is he the sort of guy that would have been happy coming off the bench and even though he had an impact.
Would you?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're him, like why would you like – he's their dude. All right, I played one or two games off the bench, now start me.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bench player. I think he just needs to come on and set the tone. And he needs those instructions before the game. Set the tone, big boy. Get out there. Get your hands on the ball early. Set the tone for all the younger kids to follow you, mate.
He was aggressive with his carries.
Game was nearly already gone when he got on. Not gone, but I mean, they were in the fight the whole time. But I'm just saying, they were losing the ruck. Yeah. I need him to go at like Papa and all those sort of guys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'd do if I was him. I'll be looking because he's probably so close with that club. He's been there for 3 or 4 years. He loves it. You know what I mean? But what does he do for his growth in the game? You know, he could be a way better player.
I'll tell you what I'm not sure on. Where the fuck this season is going to go. The football is so hard to pick. We're going to try to do that at the preview on Thursday. Yeah. We'll see you for round 7 preview on Thursday because this rugby league season has been great thus far.